Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care. Ain't Slayed Nobody proudly presents Here Be Dragons with the Sinful Seven. The oak boards of your wagon groan and squeal in protest as the hard Texas sun threatens to bake you and your horses alive. The year is 1867, and the five of you are traveling from Austin to Knoxville, but drop the K because that's Knoxville, Texas. Each town that you pass offers the same assembly of ugly people and ugly buildings they call home. The place you're headed, Knoxville, ain't much either, you're guessing. But someone has to set the record straight. For one reason or another, you've all been asked to join a vigilance committee. The people in Austin, the city that you rolled off from at sunrise, have been shocked and fractured by recent events, and they're looking for answers. You see, dozens of honest, God-fearing souls claim to have seen a dragon. A 100% real fire-breathing beast. Arguments about the dragon have boiled over into bar brawls. Two men were even shot dead over the matter. You interviewed some of the folks in Austin, but most of them seemed whiskey numb or just plain stunned by what they saw. A pair of wealthy Austinites, Colt Budden and Lucky Stoops, have hired you to settle the dispute. Budden and Stoops are rival mine owners who've put up their land claims as wagers. Budden is certain he saw a real dragon, while Stoops insists it was a fake. A painted oxen and some trick of the light. Whatever the case, you've been tasked with uncovering the truth and bringing back irrefutable evidence to settle the bet and end the controversy in the capital city. I know that you've all just seen your characters for the very first time, but let's begin with introductions so that we can meet our vigilance committee. The driver of the wagon is a young man who seems to be wearing a permanent scowl between the patchwork beard on his cheeks. He looks fresh off the farm, despite wearing a top hat. Tyson, this is your character.
All right. I am Tyson Whiting. I'm playing the exciting role of Hugh Holtz. I'm an ambitious trapper who apparently is not very good at trapping, but I do what I must to provide for my mama and my five sisters. I wear a four-string banjo slung across my back, which I can hardly play, but it complements my top hat, so that's good.
And seated next to Hugh is a well-built man with the most beautiful salt and pepper hair framing his kind face. He's overdressed for this journey in a frock coat and pantaloons. Spencer Hall, who are you playing?
I'm going to be playing Jack Brown, fancies himself an artist, but in reality is more of a lifelong dilettante endowed with just enough of an inheritance to give him heirs and 40 acres, but not enough to give him 41 and any real smarts. He's overconfident, loyal, believes he knows far more than he does, does not pay attention to the skills or the scores when attempting to roll for anything, and is here to bring some culture, wisdom, and guidance to this rough group of relative ne'er-do-wells who can't possibly compete with his pedigree achievements or the $12,500 that he has as a lifetime inheritance.
Wow, what's that in today dollars? That's a lot.
$12,500.
I have five.
Yeah, I think it's like $500,000 today. Behind the seat, with his back to Hugh and Jack, we find a man wearing a poncho with old blood stains and frayed edges. He's a rugged, serious man who seems to be focused on polishing his Colt Walker revolver. Richard, tell us about your character.
My name is Richard Johnson. I'm playing the role of Ames Franklin tonight. I've been an outlaw as long as I can remember. My last crew ran into a trap and they blamed it on me, but it wasn't my fault. Even though I'm the leader and take responsibility in other ways, this was not on me. I'm quiet and calculating, and I'll shoot you, but only if you earn it.
Perfect. Thank you, Richard. Also seated inside the wagon bed with his arms draped across the board box is a man wearing faded overalls. His pant legs are rolled up over his calves. At his feet, there's a fishing pole and a small tackle box. He's looking over toward the driver's bench and at Ames. Who do we have here?
I'm Alex Kirshner. Hey, Yins, I should say. I'll be playing the role of Gabe Wanstead. Gabe, or Wani as he is sometimes called, is an unskilled laborer from Baldwin, just outside the city of Pittsburgh. Beautiful mustache, long, slender face, likes to just every now and again start throwing rocks at anybody who's around him. You never know who might get hit. You never know why he's doing that. But when he's in the area, he's going to cause chaos. And some of that might be happening in this situation.
Okay, that sounds scary. Thank you, Alex. And I kind of buried the lead here, because on the back of this wagon, there's a wooden box with a barred door. Inside, there's a massive man dressed in practical clothing for mining or outdoor life. He's wearing a rough-hewn houndstooth pattern hat, and his sun-beaten body is fully calloused and scarred. If it wasn't for his short hair, you might think this was some kind of beast rather than a man. And that cage door swings open and slams shut with each bump in the trail, so the man seems to be in the box voluntarily. Jason, who are you playing?
Hi, I'm Jason Kirk. I'm here tonight as Saul the Bear Bryant, a miner of residence in College Station, Texas. I'm a big, frugal, stoic guy, and I care about nothing but my mama and my hat.
I love it. The five of you have been riding for several hours now, and it was Jack Brown who was kind enough to lend his wagon to this mission. We aren't sure why he had the cage ready to go, but it's fine. Jack's wagon is stocked, it looks good, there are helpful things that you'll find in your character inventories. And as I mentioned, you're traveling from Austin to Knoxville, Texas, and just when you feel like you must be nearing the town, you begin seeing paper flyers scattered across the dirt.
Are these flyers like warning signs or wanted posters?
They're more like carnival advertisements. You can't read them from up on the wagon, but it did sound like this dragon was part of some kind of medicine show act.
I'll snag one of those flyers and pass it around to everyone.
Yeah, these are advertisements for getting a look at this dragon. And it costs $10, which is quite a lot of money just to get a look at this foul beast. And if these flyers are to be believed, for an extra $20, you can sit on the dragon.
Gabe would like to perhaps ride the dragon, so we're going in. We are going to tame this foul beast.
You need to get there first, but maybe Hugh can pick up the pace.
I, Ames Franklin, am a little weary of this situation. Just because I rode into a trap before.
Yes, the trap was Vanderbilt football.
I would like to just let everybody know that I, Jack Brown, my sole passion in life, besides the pursuit of knowledge, is that of the pursuit of a dragon. So I would like to go ahead and let my desires be known to the group as a whole, that though the heart of Texas has many fair jewels, none shine brighter than the potential of seeing a dragon.
I'm hearing you talk, and it feels like you're talking about heroin.
I am, but also a dragon. I'm from Vienna, and therefore more cosmopolitan.
Jack Brown's character sheet is a total mess, but that seems appropriate. He has opera skill, which I don't think we mentioned before, but you're going to have to sing for us before this is done.
That is fine. I can handle it.
As Knoxville comes into sight, it becomes clear that a fire has gutted this small town. All of the dwellings are hollowed out. The charred bones of the buildings stand as the only testimony that this was ever a town at all. The wind carries frantic wails from the residents as they're picking through the remains of the buildings and calling out to their lost. Solemn-faced men are digging ditches that you're assuming are graves for those who are eventually found. This town is in shambles, and as you continue to ride in, your clothing is mottled in ash falling from the gray sky. The ruins are still smoldering. It all seems precarious. Torched wooden frames are leaning at dangerous angles. Livestock are roaming freely with no one paying them any mind in the carnage. And as your eyes follow a cow walking down the trail, you'll notice a crowd has gathered across town. It's kind of hard to tell from where you are, but this looks like a crowd forming around a man. Yeah, they're yelling at him. Maybe you're sensing that this is a mob that's forming.
I reckon we should head over in that direction where the mob is congregating.
Yeah, I, Jack Brown, would strongly encourage this.
I told you guys this was a trap, but if we must, I'll go. I need to get paid.
Let's get down there.
Let's go fight that mob.
Fighting mobs is always a priority for a vigilance committee, so I think it makes perfect sense.
Fight mob.
Good. So you drive the wagon in closer to the mob, and it's obvious to you now that the townspeople, they're throwing vegetables and stones at a man who's digging a ditch. He's dirty, sullen, an elderly man. He looks quite afraid, and he continues to dig while getting pelted with rotten tomatoes, gray potatoes, whatever veg people can get their hands on. Some people are chucking rocks and debris from the fires.
I would like to go ahead and see if I can ask one of these bystanders what has transpired here.
Okay, Jack Brown, you can jump off the driver's bench there, and you approach the mob. And the man nearest to you is doing his best to throw turnips at the ditch digger, but you've stepped into his path and he's having a hard time.
Hey, step aside, fella.
It's not just that you're obstructing him. His neck is wrapped up. He's wearing a neck brace. And he points past you to the man with the shovel.
That's a witch. Now, help me throw these potatoes or clear out. See, he brought a dragon to town and turned it loose. The fucker burned up our saloons and brothels. Obviously, we're going to hang him.
I have to go ahead and intervene here.
I'll pull the wagon up closer to this conversation and ask, do you know where this dragon is now?
Well, it flew off kind of north by northwest after it ruined our lives. We gave our money to this piece of garbage. Well, we've taken most of that back, of course, but we want justice. We don't take kindly to people coming here and killing a bunch of us.
What do you expect us to do about it?
This man's rubbing the neck brace, trying to crane his neck to the side now.
Oh, yeah, that dragon, you know, he knocked me over. Gave me some real bad injuries.
It wasn't my fault.
I want to make sure this devil gets what he deserves.
But one of the other members of the mob perks up at hearing his story.
Don't listen to Robbie. He ain't got hit by the dragon. He fell off his damn horse with his little mistress.
Don't listen to her.
I would like to fight the neck man.
You want to fight the guy in the neck brace?
Yeah, let me at him. I need to put this man out of his misery.
Is this like a fist fight?
Whatever is be most honorable, I guess. Should I use my pickaxe?
Yeah, fighting guy in the neck brace is the most honorable.
Mister, what are you doing? I don't want trouble with you.
Kick his ass.
Well, give me a roll for fighting brawl. You succeeded. What does this look like? How are you attacking him?
I just gave him a form tackle right in the shoulder, right in the sternum. Kept my feet driving, aimed not just for the chest, but through the other side of it, and then just kept the feet churning until planted him right into the street.
Good, and you're this big bear of a man, so everyone notices this, and the whole scene is quite dramatic.
Oh, jeez, ow! Little help?
The mob might be angrier if they weren't so impressed by your form, bear. Give me an intimidate roll on the tail end of that tackle.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's a hard success. Yeah. You rolled 5 on a 15. This mob is intimidated. Maybe terrified is the right word.
Help me? Somebody?
Yeah, after watching the bear drive Robbie into the dirt, the mob now stares at you in awe. You have their undivided attention. The man who's digging the ditch, who was being pelted by vegetables, he leans against the handle of his shovel, and he looks up at you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Much obliged. A stranger helping an old man like me. I do appreciate that.
This man is filthy. He smells like rot. You don't know if the smell is from the incident with the dragon, or the digging, or from being pelted by spoiled vegetables for hours. He has a very scruffy face and very deep crow's feet cut into that face. He's missing a lot of teeth, which you notice as he gives you a slight smile.
I would like to try to convince the mob to let us talk to this guy and pump him for information with some stunning oratory on the back of my fabulous wagon.
Okay, good. Jack is standing tall on the wagon, and you'd like to, what, convince the mob to let you interrogate this man in private?
Yes, given a good surrouse of Knoxville. My esteemed associate, the bear here, has demonstrated our sincerity in wanting to interrogate and solve this hideous crime that has been perpetrated against the good people of this town of Jocksville. Whatever this little shithole is. Whatever. People, we need to talk to that man. And if you skin him, you can do that after we're done with him. Is that a fair deal, everybody?
Yeah, I'm convinced, but give me a charm roll. I think that suits your character.
Oh, absolutely. 15%. How can I fail?
Oh, is it 15?
15.
And you did fail, but not by much. You failed by 12, so you could use 12 luck points to make that a success.
Yes!
Okay, on your character sheet, you have a pool for luck. Just subtract 12 from that.
Yes!
Yeah, good. So with 38 luck, that will be a success.
I just rubbed some Vince Young on it. It's fine.
Like Dallas area recruits, the crowd is captivated by this speech you're giving, Jack, from the back of the wagon. They're whispering amongst themselves, deliberating on whether to hand this man over to your group. Reluctantly, they do agree to let you interview him. You've successfully quelled the mob.
There we go.
So are we taking this guy with us?
You don't have to, but it's an option now.
I'm lassoing his ass and taking him behind that abandoned building.
Okay, you want to tie him up?
Yeah, and I don't want him running off to get his buddies.
Richard, give me a roll for Ames for rope use.
I failed badly.
Careful with that.
Actually, no, that's not fair. You're terrible at rope use, but you carry a lasso as a weapon. So instead, give me a fighting brawl roll.
We have failed that as well.
Okay, you still failed, but that's okay. So you drape the lasso over this man, but you know, you're used to catching moving targets. So you tighten the lasso rather poorly. He's a feeble man. He might be able to worm his way out of this if he wants to. But yeah, right now he doesn't seem to be resisting. He seems happy that you got him away from the certain death of that mob.
No need to drag me. I'll come along. I've got nothing to hide.
Where would you like to take this man?
Nowhere. I think it's time for lunch. I think we ought to get some food in him, get him a little almond capicola, and see if it gets him talking.
Yeah, one of those gutted buildings looks like it was formerly an inn with a bar and a kitchen. There's a charred wooden sign leaning against a post, and that says Bucky's. There's not anyone around, and maybe you can scavenge for food.
Now, you see, they make the meat right there on the stump, young man from Pittsburgh. You can take a look at that.
That sounds delicious. Get him some French fries in there.
Now you got yourself a sandwich.
Yeah, precisely. So we can say you've had a little afternoon snack, you've fed this man, and you've removed him from the dangerous mob along with your wagon. A mule seems to be following the group as you steer this wagon behind what's left of the buildings here. While you're on the move, everyone give me a listen roll.
With my esteemed Viennese listening ears.
I did not pass.
I also failed.
Ah, damn it.
Fumble.
Fumble for Ames. Yeah, on a fumble, you don't hear anything remarkable. And in fact, as you're surveying the town, Ames, this large bird swoops in and shits on you with impeccable aim.
This is a new coat.
This is going to give you a penalty die on your next social roll, as you are caked in bird shit.
Okay, please remind me.
I'll try. However, Jack Brown from the driver's bench has a success. Jack, as Hugh is steering the wagon to this more secluded area of Knoxville, you hear muffled cries for help. Those are coming from a pile of rubble where a building once stood.
Everybody, I'm sorry. My acute, gentlemanly hearing, only possible to those with $12,500 in assets, has detected some kind of serious distress from within this building. I believe we should assist and investigate.
Oh, I don't know about that. I feel like we're just wasting time when all I need to do is find this dragon. Let's interrogate this man and head on out.
Yeah, I think it's time to go and see this dragon.
Now, what if I were to use my powers of spotting hidden things to look inside the building?
Yeah, Bear, now that Jack's pointed out the sound, you'll have a good sense for where the cries are coming from, and you could narrow your eyes and take a close look. Give me spot hidden. You succeeded. 45 over 65 on that. Peering through the building frame, you do see someone inside. Yeah, it's a woman squirming. It looks like she's trapped beneath a wooden beam that's fallen.
Can I fight the beam?
You can fight the beam. Absolutely. And you're pretty much a bear, right? How would you like to fight it?
I'm going to use my pickaxe.
Okay. You're going to hack away at the beam with a pickaxe.
Excuse me, sir. Why are you using an axe?
Roll for it. Fighting brawl.
Whoops. I failed bad.
You did fail. It wasn't a fumble, so you don't hit the woman with the axe, but you don't have any success freeing her from the beam.
Help me, please. Can't you just roll the beam off of me?
Could I just keep flailing with the pickaxe?
Flailing with the pickaxe? Of course you can.
Can you even hear what I'm saying to you?
Let's make that a pushed roll, which just means you'll get to roll again, but at much greater risk to yourself. And it's also going to heighten danger for this stranger, potentially risking her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Alternatively, one of your companions could come in and try something different. I'd count that as a pushed roll. You're all going to see Bear chipping away at this beam unsuccessfully.
All right, here, somebody else try this pickaxe.
Give me a pickaxe. Give me that. I'll show you how we chop wood up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, good. Another one.
Okay, so Gabe doesn't have a specific pickaxe skill. So I'm going to ask you for a strength roll, Alex.
I rolled on my sleeves and passed.
Oh, nice. Hard success. Gabe struts in and shows you how to do it, Bear. He grabs the pickaxe out of your hands and starts to wail away at this beam.
I only ranked the boner as nothing for old Gaby Wanstead.
Yeah, eventually the beam splits and the woman crawls away to relative safety. Her legs look twisted up, her clothes are soaked with blood, but she is conscious and she looks relieved despite these injuries.
Ugh, finally.
In the area where she clambered out from the beam, a silver plate in the rubble catches your eye, Gabe. It has this black silver sheen to it. It looks very peculiar, nothing like you've ever seen before. You're the only one who's seen it for now, unless you want to call it to the attention of your friends.
I'll hold it up at a light and say I don't know nothing about this.
Bear, you're right there, so you're going to see it.
Uh-huh.
And the woman Gabe freed will see it too. The rest of you, from a distance, you could give me a spot hidden, see if you notice this thing. Good, it looks like we have some successes.
I believe that's Peruvian silver. I'm going to investigate and take a closer look, as I have the most discerning eye of anyone in this party.
Okay, give me a dexterity roll for Jack Brown.
Oh,
wow.
I have had an extreme success with my dexterity roll.
This woman that Gabe just freed scrambles for the object, Jack, but you get there first with lightning speed. What are you doing? Are you cutting her off in the path?
I do. I kick it up like a skateboard with my foot, tips up the leg, up the arm like a basketball. I roll it on my shoulder, pull it off, my hat in one hand, the plate in the other.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was envisioning.
Jack Brown is ready to pass a field sobriety test right now, should one be administered.
You're now holding this shiny object, Jack, and notice that it's cold and slick to the touch. There's white crusted powder on the surface. Can you give me an intelligence roll on that, Jack?
A hard success.
Nice. With a hard success, you can put together that this woman probably got pinned under the beam while she was trying to collect this object. Not only that, but you've noticed now that she's clutching a small sack, and that contains more of these things. One is poking out of the opening in the top of that sack.
Mm-hmm.
Give that back unless you want a wump, and that's mine.
I'm going to tell her that unless you would like to speak to my dim friend from Pittsburgh, the Alleghenian himself, or unless she would like to have further discussions with the bear who cannot discuss things, or any of my other compadres here, she best start talking about this.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I found it. It's mine. I've been collecting them.
Where did you find it, ma'am?
It was right here in the rubble. They're everywhere if you pay attention. I think they fell off that dragon.
Gentlemen, I think we have a clue.
Give it back.
And she grabs for it, Jack. Give me a strength roll if you'd like to pull it away from her.
I'm going to be out tussled by a lady who just had a beam on her. Okay, success. Woo.
All right, that's good. You're going to be able to hold on to this item as the woman collapses to the ground, clutching her right leg.
You're stealing that from me. You're thieves, all of you.
I believe possession is 9/10 of the law, and it seems that I have out-recruited you for this piece of valuable baggage.
Fine, I got 3 more anyway. Say, would you mind giving me $2 for that one so you're not stealing?
You'll get nothing from my $12,500 estate. Be gone!
I'll remember this one. I never forget the face of a liar and a cheat.
Keep walking, broke folks. Keep walking.
Could I perhaps persuade her to forget this?
Oh, yeah. Give me one of your social roles if that's important to you, and tell me what you're saying.
Could I attempt to do the same?
You can do that as a pushed roll if Bear fails.
So I'm going to use some real slick talking. I've been studying my friend Jack Brown for a while. I'm going to put on some charm here as a bear, and I'm going to say, let's just forget this whole thing happened. But that wasn't quite appealing, I guess.
Yeah, what the hell are you?
Well, I'm going to try with my 15% to intimidate her. I failed.
You failed? What were you doing poorly to intimidate her?
I attempted to flex at her and loom, and instead I appear to have farted at the same time and broken the tension.
Okay, she's pulled herself back to her feet, and since that was a pushed roll, the stakes are higher. She's going to slap you for that, Jack.
I would do it again.
Now, Spencer, give me a luck roll to see if you take any damage from the slap.
I got first aid. I'm going to do a first aid.
Okay, we can use that if he fails the luck roll.
I have sustained damage from the slap. The first aid roll is not just failed, but is a fumble.
Whoops. So I think I just dug a claw into Jack's eye.
That is wonderful. I love that we're fumbling. Yeah, it was just 1 point of damage from the slap. Jack's mouth is bleeding. But the bear decided to apply first aid and rolled 100, which is the worst thing you can roll in Call of Cthulhu. Bear's trying to put a compress on your hurting cheek, but he's this big bear man and he doesn't know his own strength. He ends up slapping you much harder than the woman did and knocks you down, Jack. Yeah, he leaves this big old paw print on the side of your face. This delights the woman y'all freed from the beam.
That's perfect.
Give me a D3 for the bear. I'll let you roll the damage for that. A 3, of course. Subtract 3 more from your hit points, Jack. You are already getting a little bit low on hit points. Where are you?
Oh, 7 of 11.
Okay, well, at least you have this item. That was a success. But the slapping sequence did not go too well. Would anyone from the group like to take a crack at examining this new object Jack has? Does anyone have science skills?
I have anthropology, but it's 1%.
I'm a scientist of the banjo only.
As our ranking geologist, I believe I'm qualified to inspect the specimen.
Okay, so you're almost a literal bear, but you have geology skill. That makes sense.
That's right. Rock genius, hard success on geology.
So, as our resident geologist with a hard success, you know that this is an organic object. It's not just minerals. This plate is about 1 foot lengthwise. It's black and silver in color. It's gnarled and slippery in texture. And it's covered with white salt-like deposits. Bear, it has a sulfur smell, which is really unexpected. The woman claimed that this fell off of a dragon, and I'm not sure you wouldn't believe her now.
Sulfur smell reminds me of Mama.
I'm going to turn to our old vegetable-beaten friend here and point to the object. Do you know anything about this?
Well, bring it here. Let me take a closer look at that, if I might.
He's going to hold his hand out to you, Hugh, like he wants to hold it.
Look with your eyes and not your hands.
Yes, that's one of her scales. Oh dear, she's been hurt in all the turmoil. Oh, Blaze, I hope she's okay.
Is it normal for dragons to lose their scales?
I'm honestly not sure what happened. We were doing the normal show, and one of the townsfolks, he got so angry when he saw Blaze. He pulled out his pistol, and he fired off a few shots. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He shot Blaze for no reason. Then, well, Blaze didn't like that, and she went berserk, destroyed the whole town. It's not her fault, though. You have to understand, when you're a dragon being shot, that's not very pleasant, is it?
Think we ought to find this fella.
She was shot by a man called Mo Pellini. I think he's the blacksmith.
That Mo Pellini, he's a mean son bitch, let me tell ya.
I'm estimating he was shot between 9 and 4 times.
That woman you rescued is walking away from the group when she hears that mention of Mo Pellini, and she turns and points to a shadowy corner of the building frame, smirking a little bit.
Well, Mo's right over there if you want to talk to him.
You'll see that she's pointing to a dismembered arm.
I'm afraid that interrogation will be impossible, gentlemen.
Can I fight the arm?
Yeah, sure. In fact, the hand attached to that arm is gripping a revolver.
I do not have a revolver, so could I just go simply acquire it?
Yes, but since you suggested fighting the arm, it's only fair to make you do that. Do you want to use fighting brawl skill?
All right, let's go. No, I failed with my claws.
Okay, well, Mo's detached arm, the hand has this really tight grip on the revolver. Maybe it's rigor mortis or his fingers are swollen, but Bear, your hands are so big. It's a really clumsy attempt, and you just can't pry his fingers free.
Can he carry the arm and use it as a weapon?
Absolutely. You could take the whole arm with the revolver attached if you'd like.
Yes, I'd like to acquire arm.
Rigor mortis has made it the perfect weapon.
Okay, please add that to your inventory for Bear, Mo Pelini's arm.
Now get the hell out of here.
And that man that you intended to interrogate before this happened, he addresses the group.
Are you going to help me or not? Will you help me find Blaze?
Gentlemen, we said we'd give him back to the mob, did we not?
I believe that might be too hasty.
I agree with the banjo man. Let's not be hasty. I don't think there's any reason to hand me over to those lunatics.
Well, I said we'd give him back. I just didn't say when. I say we ride to the northwest with this gentleman and the scale. And then, when he is done, we will let them do as they like with him. If they even remember the source of their pain and anguish.
I would love to join you. No one can track Blaze like I can. But if we could just stop by my wagon on the way out of town, you'd be doing me a great service. Ichabod Knowles, by the way, that's my name. I know you didn't ask, but it's been a pleasure to meet the five of you.
No, what's in this wagon?
Oh, just some personal effects. I'd like to get Gus, my trusty mule. Yes, indeed, you ought to listen to me now.
Listen, you old son of a bitch. I'll beat you to death with Mo Pelini's arm.
Whoa. Relax, Bear Man. I just have some trinkets and papers, things like that. Nothing valuable to you lots. Just my own personal possessions.
How valuable are we talking? I only have $5 to my name.
Nothing really. Maybe a penny or two. There are things I've written down. It would be quite helpful if we quickly retrieved those. The notes taught me how to train Blaze. And I'm forgetful in my old age.
I think he sounds like he's full of shit, y'all.
What's that? Are you talking about Knowles?
You're trying to tell me that you have magic words.
I don't believe in magic. It's more like you'd call a dog. Blaze is responsive to certain phrases.
If you play with a dragon long enough, you shouldn't forget shit like the basic commands.
So we look up at this big dragon and we say, sit. It's not going to know what sit means?
No. These commands are quite fancy. If we could just stop by the wagon and then, you can look at the cage and get a feel for her size. She's quite impressive, you know.
I don't trust him for a second. I say we begin moving northward. If he needs paper to remember it, he won't be able to remember it when that big son of a bitch comes down on us.
I'd at least like to travel along with your group.
I don't mind stopping by the wagon. Maybe there's something in there we can use or sell.
What if we go to the wagon and then we shoot him?
Yes. Well, let's not be hasty. I just want to get my belongings.
No, it'll take a while to get there. It's not hasty at all.
No, seems like we're already in overtime, buddy.
The wagon's not too far away if we're going north. But it's up to you, I suppose.
And you've noticed by now that the mob has dispersed and the remaining people have turned on each other. They're bickering over what just happened. There's a bit of commotion, but no one seems to be looking for you actively.
Gentlemen, I believe democracy is an inferior form of government. However, given our situation, I suggest that we take a vote on whether we stop by the wagon on the way out of town. I do not trust this man. However, I also do not trust his ability to remember anything. Hence, any support we can give him in his fading memory and his dying years in order to pursue this dragon, I suggest that we do it.
I think he's only going to lead us to ruin and probably a trap.
Let's throw him out.
I say this son of a bitch comes with us.
Fine, but I'll be keeping my eye on him.
We follow 3-2, but you are the one who keeps a gun on him.
Okay, yeah, so you can begin riding toward the wagon. That's closer to the outskirts of Knoxville. and Noel's mule is going to follow you. You'll begin to see a large cage peering over the hillside, and eventually the whole wagon comes into view. This is a massive custom-built wagon designed to house a beast. This gigantic cage, much larger than Bear's cage, it's covered in canvas on all sides, perhaps to conceal the dragon from non-paying members of the audience. As you approach, Knowles runs to the driver's section of the wagon and starts rifling through the area under the seat.
Oh no, what's happened here? Where are all my things?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. And you're going a little too fast for my liking. Moving a little too shifty. I might get itchy with my trigger finger, if you know what I mean.
This is terrible. Everything's missing.
And you're close enough now that you've all noticed the stench of rot and feces coming from this cage, from behind those canvas curtains. It's a choking smell beyond disgusting. Everyone give me constitution rolls.
So the Pittsburgh man is a hard success. He thinks it smells great.
Oh yeah, I passed that no problem. A Pittsburgh man isn't bothered by any smell.
I'm succeeding.
I failed that.
Let's see, Ames failed and Jack failed, and Bear, you failed as well. So the three of you, almost like the scene from Stand By Me, you're throwing up in this cascading tapestry of vomit.
Horkum!
And as this is all happening, a new face emerges over the hill. This is a finely suited man approaching. He walks up to the group and pats Gus on the side.
What's going on? We need to get on the road. We need to find Blaze. Who are all these people, Knowles?
I immediately turn my gun to him.
Name's Biff Kingsbury. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
What's the appearance rating on this fella?
Oh, he has a 99 for sure.
Uh-huh.
He's almost as handsome as I am.
My God, he looks delicious.
Other than being the most attractive man you've ever laid eyes on, he's rather unassuming.
That boy looks like he never got his hands dirty a day in his life.
Biff inspects both sides of his hands when you say that.
I'm Ichabod's business partner. What can we help you with today?
Biff, you're a good-looking fella, but if you make one move, my compatriot will blow your brains out.
I'd like to know why you weren't in town with him with the dragon when all this happened.
You mean why wasn't I digging my own grave? It's a simple explanation. I'm more of the money man and legal mind of this operation. I was negotiating for Ichabod's release behind the scenes. Way behind the scenes, really.
From what I am here to understand that you, sir, left your business partner to be killed by a mob in town while you simply observed it, both the capital and the labor of the production departing in both directions, one toward the grave, one toward the heavens.
Well, that's a creative perspective. The people who live here just needed to blow off a little steam, but if they started to kill him, I certainly would have intervened.
From a distance?
Yes, well, I was standing behind an outhouse chatting with the mayor. We would have stopped anything serious.
Easy words from a coward.
Look, Ichabod and I, we were terribly outnumbered.
You know, two is more than one. I think I should point that out.
I needed to assess the situation and grease the wheels a little bit.
So I think this is ironic because it seems you were strong in the run game, but also in the pass game, as in passing the buck and letting him take the blame. I don't trust either of these gentlemen.
I think this Kingsbury fellow lacks defense.
It's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, likewise, I'm sure.
I was wondering where you got off to while I was getting pelted with vegetables and digging my own grave. Someone stole all my things. Can you believe that?
Oh well, we can buy new things. It's no problem. What are we doing? Why are we standing around?
Right, well, we should be finding Blaze. We need to hit the next town.
Let's get the hell out.
Okay, are these people coming with us?
Anything that'll make us faster so I can get to that dragon.
Whatever. Can we all get along then? At least we'll have seven people. That seems central to the name Sinful Seven.
Oh, I'm from Pittsburgh. We can socialize with anybody.
Could I help rifle through these things real quick? Just sort of tip the wagon over and dump everything out?
Yeah, I would love for you to do that. Give me a spot hidden roll, Jason, as you do that for Bear.
Hey, fellas, I found it.
Ooh, hard success. Nice. Yeah, you're ripping through this wagon, tossing everything. You don't see anything interesting as you shake the wagon, but in this act of tearing the wagon apart, those canvas curtains on the dragon cage fold back, and you see a gigantic pile of feces. Yeah, and on the hard success, you're going to see spectacles sticking up out of the shit mound. And you also notice undigested bits of deer and horses. It looks like the dragon has been eating a pretty steady diet of those.
Mm-hmm. How deeply embedded are these glasses?
They're sticking up halfway, so you can see the bridge, the nose piece.
Can I delicately take two claws and just pinch the top of them and pull them out?
Yeah, of course. You pull the spectacles out of the disgusting heap, and they look like normal reading glasses to you.
Mm-hmm.
One lens is obviously smeared with what might be dragon shit.
Oh, you found my glasses. Thank you kindly. At least that's something.
And he reaches over without hesitation, doesn't even clean the lens, and puts them right on his head there.
My good man, that is disgusting.
Well, I do need to be able to read. Should I find my notes?
Is it possible your papers also ended up under the steaming mound?
Oh, that's a marvelous idea, mister. Would you mind looking through it for me?
Absolutely not.
I believe the man who has never gotten his hands dirty should do the job to prove himself.
Oh, there's nothing. There's nothing there.
Can we heave this man into the pile of shit?
You can probably do that. The cage appears to be unlocked. Give me a strength check, see if Bear can heave Biff into the shit.
Whoops.
Despite having 70 strength, you still failed dramatically.
I would like to try to persuade him.
To get into the shit?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if anyone can do this, it's Jack Brown. What are you going to say to Biff? And I need a hard success on this roll.
What I'm going to say to him is that, listen, in order to prove yourself and to take the next step in your evolution as both a businessman and a personal brand, you have to, from time to time, connect with the people in order to show that you are willing to do the things that a person needs to do to succeed in life, which sometimes literally involves getting those pretty hands dirty. You're more than a pretty face. Go prove it. I'm going to hit that roll and persuade now. Look at that.
Well, that's a hard success. Amazing.
Oh my God. I can't believe I'm doing this. But we need to move on and find Blaze, so let's get it over with.
So he digs into that heap of shit like he's playing Double Dare, you know, looking for something, anything helpful in the pile. As he's doing this, all of you give me a luck roll.
I have failed.
Okay, so Hugh and Jack, you catch a little bit of this feces on your clothing as it's flying off the pile, which might affect future appearance or social roles. And Biff, if y'all aren't stopping him, he's going to the bottom of this mound trying to prove his worth. He's getting that once perfect suit filthy at this point, and I'm going to roll for him.
Oh, no.
There's nothing in here. Nothing. Biff has thrown up 4 or 5 times as he's been doing this. He's just covered in shit and animal carcasses at this point.
That's fine. Keep going.
Appreciate the effort and the commitment to personal development.
He holds up his shit-covered hands. He'd make a great travel partner for you now.
Nasty. Oh, no. I don't think there's anything in here, fellas. That was a pretty thorough search.
So he does his best to clean himself off, removing his overcoat and vest. But it's one of those things where everything he's touching is becoming dirtier. He's covered in shit, so you might want to ride at a distance from Biff. He does whistle for his horse to come over.
Dollar, get over here, Dollar.
Now, if you're ready, the party can get heading to the northwest.
Yeah, let's get a move on.
As you leave town, you'll get a final look at that mob, which is now a disorganized mess of infighting. If you do find a dragon, you might consider reporting back to Knoxville. Try to salvage whatever sanity you can in this wrecked town. You even hear a distant gunshot as you ride onward. You pass a wily little drifter on the outskirts of town, who slyly approaches the party and waves you down. You gotta find this dragon, right? You gotta go this way, that way, I don't care. Find it, bring it to Alabama, right? Don't tell the press, they'll twist it up, and I'm tired of it. We'll pay you, right?
Fellas, it sounds to me like Mama's calling the dragon.
I think we ought to send that dragon up to Morgantown, you know, see what it might do.
I wonder if that dragon's ever considered Austin.
Yeah, Austin is where your adventure began, so the dragon might have gotten a good look at all it has to offer. And now the five of you have your wagon, of course, Jack's wagon, and Knowles is riding on his mule. Biff is on Dollar, his dappled horse, and that man just slipped each of you a few coins for your consideration.
Do I have more than five now?
You have six, yeah, six.
Yes.
Oil prices are down right now for Bear.
By percentage, that is a tremendous increase in wealth. Congratulations.
The ground you're riding on is mostly flat. It's made up of loose, dry dirt, shale, and sand. There's a lot of dust being kicked up under the wagon. You do spot some slow-growing juniper off to the side, little oak trees here and there. This does look like an established, well-traveled trail leading out of Knoxville.
I think this trail leads to Junction. I wonder if she found another mountain. Well, we need to press on to find Blaze, wherever she is.
Show us the way.
I mentioned this is a fairly well-worn path, and near a town like this, with Knowles mentioning the mountains, that could signal that this trail leads to a mining area.
Fellas, as the geology expert here, if there be miners in the area, I feel we should take a look. Perhaps the dragon that's made of rocks.
Give me another geology roll for Bear while you're thinking about rocks.
Whoops.
Okay, so Bear failed that one. You could push that roll or just accept that you're not sure what's going on.
This is beyond my scholarly expertise in the subject of rocks.
You don't know of any mining around here or really anything about the landforms around here, but there's no missing the tracks that are beginning to appear in front of the wagon as you're making your way from Knoxville toward Junction. You see these large gouges in the ground and strings of sticky blood. If you keep riding, this continues for miles. Eventually, the trail stops dead, and you notice a couple of clean footprints in soft mud. It's rather dry out here, so this is peculiar. And these footprints aren't like anything you've seen before.
Guys, I think we need to stop and take a look at these.
I concur.
Okay, good. Is Ames any good at tracking?
Tracking? No, I'm not good at tracking at all.
Okay, how about natural world?
I'm not great.
Great. How about Jack?
I will try natural world. I am decent at it.
Okay. And I think Hugh might have tracking with his backstory.
I am an expert at tracking critters.
What's your tracking at?
50%.
Wow.
Give me the tracking roll for Hugh first.
Success! I want to go down and take my finger and scoop up some of the blood and...
Oh, yummy! You taste that sticky blood. That was your first instinct. And you take a deep look at these muddy tracks. You can tell from the claw impressions that these appear to be some variety of giant lizard. And from the blood you tasted and the way that it falls on the trail, it looks like the beast is favoring its left side.
I slowly stand up, squint, and stare into the wind. And then I grumble to myself,
"Dragon's blood.
And I kind of point in that direction.
Give me a taste profile.
Salty. Perhaps. Stanky burnt. Tingles the tongue.
Stanky
burnt. Oh, great. Yeah, it's exactly as you described it. Now, let's get that natural world for Jack.
Well, who knows? Let's give it a roll. Let's give it a shot.
Actually, anybody above the base on natural world can roll for this. You're all seeing footprints now.
I have failed.
Jack's looking at this footprint closely, trying to figure out how big this animal might be, but he forgets how to estimate measurements and just can't articulate what you think to the rest of the party.
I believe it is between 300 feet tall.
This is very consistent with how we measure animals in our main campaign, Y'all of Cthulhu. What about Bear and Hugh?
I have failed.
Not me. I succeeded.
Maybe inspired by the taste of the blood, you're studying these prints very closely, Hugh.
I know everything.
Yeah, you think the beast is roughly 20 feet long? Maybe the body's 12 to 15 feet.
I relay the information to my compatriots.
Perfect, you do that. And as you're speaking, Biff Kingsbury is sitting on his horse Dollar. He's noisily sipping tea from this monogrammed teacup. He must have had it in his saddlebag. And he's reading a book, oblivious to the investigation. It looks like he's cleaned up a little bit.
That's because he's just here for appearances. We can't trust Biff to get anything done. Biff's all about how he looks and not a rugged individualist Westerner. I say we cast aside Biff whenever we can.
Now, could I spot hidden on Biff? Could I take a closer look at this fella?
You can. Just bear in mind, he's still covered in shit. So you can look at him while giving him a wide berth. And I'll take spot hidden for that.
I'll take a look. Extreme success. I am looking into this fella's cells.
Oh my gosh. With extreme success, you instantly realize that something's off here with Biff, just as Gabe suggested. On the surface, he's innocently sipping his tea, reading his book. You see that ostensibly the book is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which is something you've read, Bear. But this book is too thin to be Frankenstein. It looks like a false cover.
Hey, bastard, what are you reading?
I knew this was a trap.
Oh, this, it's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. But, it's very scary. Very scary. I don't recommend it, but I'm already committed.
Oh, why don't you quote it for us? Why don't you just read the passage you're reading right now?
Yeah, it's pretty quiet out here. We need to get going. Why don't you go ahead and give us a sample of Miss Shelley's outstanding prose?
I want to pull out my banjo and give it a little background music.
Okay, give me a banjo roll on that.
I can roll for banjo?
Under arts and crafts, you have a little bit of banjo.
That's dope.
Oh no, that's not close. This might be the worst song you've ever heard. You fumbled your banjo roll. I love the fumble. We have so many fumbles.
Nah, he's trying, and that's what's important.
And Biff is now flipping through the pages.
Oh, there was one passage I enjoyed. Yeah, let's see here. This is a favorite page of mine. It says, it's alive. It's alive. Ooh.
Now, Hugh is distracted by his own banjo playing. The rest of you are suffering from that music. So everyone except for Hugh, give me psychology rolls, but with a penalty die.
I failed.
Psychology ain't really my strong suit.
Got it.
Woo!
Oh, Richard, you succeeded even with the penalty. Everyone else is convinced that this is fine. Maybe just the cover came loose. His reading of It's Alive was so convincing. But Ames, you know that that's not even a quote from this book. Maybe it will be in a future movie. Ames, you're convinced he's reading something else.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure this guy can even read. And if he can, he's definitely not reading something as voluminous as Mary Shelley's greatest work. This, my friends, this is a trap.
I want to snap it out of his hand, pickpocket him before he even notices and go, aha!
Okay, Spencer, give me either dexterity or sleight of hand for Jack, whichever's higher.
I'm going to give you a dexterity. I failed.
Okay, yes. You reach out to snap the book out of his hand, but he pulls it back and tucks it inside of his shit-stained shirt.
What's the meaning of this? I'm reading peacefully, for Christ's sake.
Are you, though? Are you?
Of course. Don't be absurd.
I'm going to stop my horrendous banjo playing and try perhaps a different method. Listen here. You have intrigued me. With the quote that you had given us, I would love to read some of it myself. Would you mind if I peruse your copy? I'm quite interested in the science fiction.
Okay, I'm going to consider this a pushed roll since we already had the attempt from Jack. Anything you can do to make this more dangerous would be great.
I shall push it by behaving more aggressively. Give me the book. Oops. Well, I'm going to take another handful of monster blood and just push it into my mouth.
Oh, fine. You can chew on that sticky blood. But in the meantime, Biff is acting highly paranoid. He's very protective of this book now. He's tucked it away. Like I said, he has his hand over it. And it's likely covered in dragon shit anyway. Maybe you can revisit that. But in the meantime, would you like to do anything else here with the animal tracks?
I believe we should follow them.
Okay, yes. You follow the tracks, and you begin to see a small mountain in the distance. Knowles is becoming a bit more chatty as you ride.
Oh, Blaze. She's so sweet. I hope she doesn't get into any more mischief. We really need to find her. I hate to see her ousted like this. It's a real pity. What is it you're all hoping to gain, anyway, from finding her?
I'm trying to ride a dragon, and I think that this could be a waypoint on that beautiful journey.
Oh, well, I'll give you half price on that if we find her.
That's a deal.
No amount of money may be found to compensate me for what I seek from the dragon for that. That is the muse. I only seek inspiration. My motivations are pure.
Oh, Blaze. She's so inspiring. I picked her up in Reno. She's a good girl. She really is. You know, you're really going to like her.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little titillated by the concept of a dragon. I think that in general, this is not something that I would be behind, but it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime circumstances when you get a chance to ride a dragon, you just have to go for it, even if this is an obvious trap.
Oh, very good. Very good. Your intentions all seem quite pure.
I kind of stammer for a moment, and I'm trying to think of a great lie, because in reality, I want to skin this dragon and use its flesh for money. I believe what Gabe said. I am also looking to ride this fantastical beast. It would be quite rewarding. Quite a tale to tell my sisters and my mama.
You could ride it to fame and fortune. Tyson, give me a fast talk roll since you admitted you were lying to the guy.
That's a fumble.
Oh God, we are fumbling today.
And I'm still fumbling my words.
He just kind of stares down you and Bear, Hugh.
You stay away from Blaze. I'll be watching all of you, but you in particular.
Bear, I think he might be scared to have you ride the dragon, given your stature. And he's sipping from a flask.
Would anyone like a taste?
When he holds that open flask out to you, even though he's seated on a mule beside the wagon, you still get a strong whiff of alcohol. Some kind of moonshine, you might think.
Yeah, send it over. I'll take a drink.
Okay, so Gabe's all over that. The first sip tastes very strong. Stronger than any moonshine you've sampled around Allegheny County.
It goes down easy, doesn't it?
Not any trouble for old Gabe.
Would anyone else like a taste?
Bear, of course. Jason's hand shot right up there. So Bear is going to take a gulp, and this is astringent, but I'm sure Bear can handle it.
I'm going to attempt to fake drink it, like to shoot it with my sleight of hand, which is at a massive 10%. Because I do want to appear tough, but am not.
Okay, give me the sleight of hand roll, Spencer. I like the idea.
Yeah, here we go. 10%. Here we go. Oh, can I push it? I'm going to push it.
Oh, well, you could spend luck. It's 14 out of 10. Or you could push it, which would, again, be a 10% chance.
I'm gonna go ahead and spend some luck on it. So, yeah, please, let's push some luck onto that side. I'll lower it to a 34 since I need 4, correct?
Yeah, just subtract that from your luck. You go up like you're going to take a little tea sip from the flask, but with your sleight of hand, you can hold the flask up behind maybe the far side of your face, dripping some onto the wagon bench, but Knowles looks satisfied with that.
Marvelous. How do you like the flavor?
Oh, just an intoxicating spirit unlike anything I've ever consumed.
Wonderful. How about you, sir?
He's now gesturing to Ames.
I think I would like some. I'm going to take a shot, realize it's a little too much, and then take a couple more shots.
Yeah, that's good. So you take a few shots, and you are feeling it already. What about Hugh?
Would you like a taste, young man?
Yeah, I reckon a nip. But when I put it to my mouth, I want to immediately spray it back out, kind of trying to offend him type thing.
Are you doing that in front of him? Okay, I'll just let you do that without a roll.
Tastes like piss.
Oh, so you liked it or not?
What do you think?
Well, I just met you, but it's not for everyone.
And I will invite all of you to give me another spot hidden check as you proceed toward the mountain.
I fail. That isn't going well.
Drunk. Come on.
Okay. Some of you are staring ahead with glassy eyes after the drinks. So you ride on until eventually you reach the end of the worn trail here. And you've arrived at this little outcrop of rocks. You notice a carcass, and there are a couple of crows picking at it. The large animal here has been violently ripped open, leaving just a few torn pieces. They somehow survived this assault. Probably this, whatever this dragon is. There's a radius of about 30 feet in all directions with pieces of animal, foul chunks of rotting meat under the Texas sun, and there's blood caked onto the brush and rocks.
My God, did Blaze do this?
What's left of the carcass is part of the head and a leg that have been regurgitated into the stink of vomit and sulfur. On seeing this carcass, everyone roll for a sanity check.
I passed.
Success.
Okay, wow. So Ames is the only one to fail that. I'm just going to take one sanity point from you, Richard, for Ames. This scene is disturbing, but it's just the remains of what's probably a horse. Is anyone good in education?
Gabe wants that alma mater as one of the finest academic programs in all the land.
Pitt, of course.
I'm okay in education.
I'm hitting a 45. I don't know how okay that is.
And I'm 55.
I'm 55, too.
Okay, go ahead and give me those education checks.
Extreme success.
Extreme.
Ooh, a couple hard successes, too. What this looks like is that the horse was picked up and then dropped on the outcrop of rocks from maybe a few hundred feet in the air. Then the remains were torn and shaken apart several times, and that's why they're scattered everywhere.
This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Bear loves it. He loves the gore. What about a tracking roll from Hugh Holtz? Can you give me that, Tyson?
I may not be book learned, but I know my way around a horse's corpse.
Another failure. To avoid embarrassing myself more than I already have, I shall luck it.
Okay, yeah. Adjust your luck total, and on the now successful tracking roll, you find flecks of blood and chunks of flesh that fell from the horse. And they are indeed leading toward Junction, and seem to head up to Teacup Mountain.
I believe the blood is telling me. It's speaking to me. It's saying we must go in that direction.
How sure are you here?
I would say with 54% certainty.
Well, that's above 50%, and that's good enough for me.
Let's hit the trail and get that dragon.
How's Ichabod been handling himself during this ride? Has he been distraught?
He seems concerned about Blaze.
Oh, it's good that she found some food. I was worried she might be getting a little hungry. Wouldn't want her to be hungry when she got to the next town, that's for sure. She's a good dragon, though. You'll see soon enough.
Interestingly, Biff, you'll notice, he's not reading that Frankenstein book anymore. Instead, he's now playing with some kind of box, a rectangular puzzle. It's a little contraption that has a bunch of different buttons and switches on it. Nothing like you've ever seen. He's even turned his back to the party a bit, but you can tell he's mashing away at buttons. He's fiddling with movable parts on this thing. He seems quite frustrated.
Let me peer at this bullshit he's playing with over there.
That's spot hidden.
Success.
Yeah, this box is a bit of an enigma to Bear. It's not of this world. The whole thing looks too advanced. Something's very wrong.
What the fuck is that thing?
My God, it's some kind of trap.
What are you playing with, feller?
He's startled by the question, and he tries to conceal it now off to one side.
Well, I'm going to say, hey, listen, I could come over here and pick you up and eat you, but I'm not going to go through all that trouble because we're friends, right? We've ridden out here together. We spent this time around each other. You read literature to me. The first literature I'd ever listened to. That was the greatest book I ever heard. It was 4 words long. I loved it. So why don't you just let me get a look at this thing in your hand.
Give me a persuade roll.
Extreme success.
He turns around and he tries to show this to only you, Bear. He holds the contraption up to you, and it's this black oblong shape with electronics all over it. You don't even know what those things are called.
Well, I suppose it wouldn't hurt. Maybe you can get this thing working.
At that moment, when you're starting to get a good look at this, Ichabod Knowles notices what's happening here.
Give that back. It's mine. Give that back. You stole from my wagon.
No. That's ridiculous. Preposterous. All right. We're business partners. I found this in town. I was simply carrying it for you.
You fibbing son of a bitch. You stole it. Give it back.
No, I'm going to solve it. I think I'm close.
Knowles leaps off of his mule, tackles Biff Kingsbury, and they're wrestling on the ground, fighting back and forth over this device that Biff was fiddling with. Of course, Knowles is a frail old man. He's been through a lot already today, so eventually Biff rips the box away from him. You all hear a click, and then Biff's eyes widen with surprise. Suddenly, this little contraption flips open and spews forth a blinding blue light that halos Biff Kingsbury. And he's pulled into the device, screaming.
What the? No! Ah!
The web of light that opened out of nowhere lingers for another moment before this horrid warbling hiss can be heard. And there's the sickly glow coming from the contraption. At that point, you see dull metal tendrils and kinked elbows pushing their way out of the box, extending these probing appendages. The twisted parts are shambling toward you. The cube they're attached to barely makes it a couple of feet before it slams down with a wet thud, and the metallic tendrils that it sent forward curl in on its angular joints. Its contents spill into the dirt like quicksilver, leaving this pungent liquid pool. And you see these strange shapes writhing in the quicksilver. It's like they're trying to escape. And then everything turns still. As the five of you and Knowles look down at this indescribable mess of bizarre matter, Biff is gone.
Holy shit.